From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, Merry Christmas, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, while the incoming House Democratic majority is discussing how they can stop the Trump administration, the president is working on picking his team for round two. General John Kelly announced he will be leaving his post as chief of staff at the end of the year. Congressman Andy Harris is here to discuss who the president's next chief of staff may be, along with the lingering possibility of a government shutdown over funding for the wall. Also, today marks the 70th anniversary of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. That is the universal treaty agreement between countries that religious freedom is seen as a human right, among many other items. But you wouldn't know that China was a signatory to the declaration. In their latest anti-Christian crackdown, the Chinese government arrested 100 Christian leaders last night. FRC's Travis Weber joins me with the latest out of China, and he'll also update us on a Supreme Court decision today involving Planned Parenthood. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average hovered near correction territory today as investors were spooked by concerns over global economic growth and the effects of an ongoing trade war between the U.S. and China. Is it a normal adjustment or an ominous sign of things to come? We'll talk with Art Alley, CEO and president of the Timothy Plan, a mutual fund family that promotes biblically responsible investing. And we'll take your phone calls a little bit later here on this Monday edition of Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, over the weekend, General John Kelly, the president's chief of staff, announced he was stepping down. Now, this has been anticipated for some time, and it was rumored that Nick Ayers, the vice president's chief of staff, would take that role. However, the father of triplets, all age six, Nick could not commit to the two-year role that the president wanted, so the search continues. Among those being considered, Congressman Mark Meadows and OMB Director Mick Mulvaney. With us now is Dr. Andy Harris. He represents the 1st Congressional District of Maryland. He serves on the House Committee on Appropriations. He's a member of the House Freedom Caucus. Before going to Congress, he was a physician at Johns Hopkins Hospital, as well as a medical officer in the Naval Reserve. Dr. Harris, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Good to be with you, Tony.
Well, among those being considered by the president to replace General Kelly, Mick Mulvaney, Mark Meadows, both Freedom Caucus members, both now Mick is no longer in Congress, he's the OMB director, but it looks like the president may be wanting a strong conservative at his side.
Absolutely. Look, the president knows that the Freedom Caucus are probably his best friends in Congress on the Hill, and to be considering two former member, one current member, Mr. Meadows, one former member, Mr. Mulvaney, I think means that the president is accepting the conservative agenda, and I think might be looking for experience in having to deal with the Democrat majority in the House by considering people who've spent years in the House. And you put their experience in with Mike Pence's experience, and I think they'd be able to well advise the president on how to get around the new Democrat majority in the House.
Yeah, I mean that is one aspect when you look at what the president's going to be up against the next 2 years. I mean, we're already hearing the saber rattling. It sounds as if the Democratic leadership in the House, the incoming leadership, is going to focus the bulk of their time on how to stop the president and his agenda.
That's right. And, they'll spend a time that I think the American people don't expect them to spend on things like considering, just how we're going to impeach the president instead of how we're going to improve the lives of average Americans. And I think whether it's Mick Mulvaney or Mark Meadows, either would be a great pick. I think they'll constantly remind the president that the president was elected to deliver on his promises to the American people. There was a conservative agenda, and to just press on with that agenda regardless of what the House majority is going to attempt to do in the next 2 years.
You talk about the president having conservatives at his side, Freedom Caucus members, but you're part of the appropriations. And I know you paid attention to the president's budget when he introduced it. The president has put forth a conservative agenda across the board, and I think it would be very helpful to him to have someone in his inner circle making sure that conservative viewpoint is consistent throughout his administration.
That's absolutely right. Obviously, Mick Mulvaney was one of the chief architects of the president's budgets, so that, you know, logically, he would be a great chief of staff to actually now implement those conservative agenda items from the president's budget. Obviously, you know, Mark Meadows would bring the experience of being in the House and consistently attempting to deliver a conservative agenda over the last few years. Again, this news should be very welcome news to conservatives that the president, high on the president's list, are two people with impeccable conservative credentials who actually have walked the walk as well as talked the talk over the past few years, and I think would be a great addition to the president's White House.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Congressman Andy Harris, my guest. He represents the 1st Congressional District of Maryland. Andy, let me ask you this. We've heard now, you know, since the election, we've had a couple of weeks now to process all this, but it does sound like the Democrats are going to be focused almost solely on, as you said, impeaching the president, trying to stop the president's agenda. What about the work of the people?
Well, and again, as I said, if the Democrat majority, the new Democrat majority, focuses all its attention on, you know, not being able to move past the 2016 election, because that's what it's all about. It's about taking these very tenuous claims against the president and somehow moving them to the level of impeachable offenses, which is, at this point, there's no evidence that that the president's done anything anywhere near an impeachable offense. And if they don't deliver to the American people on what the American people want, immigration is a perfect example. I mean, the American people want border security, and yet the president has been unable to deliver on his border security promise because of the obstruction by
right.
Chuck Schumer in the House, and the obstruction that's going to occur after January 1st from Nancy Pelosi. So the president has to bring that to the American people. If they want delivery on real policy that helps Americans, they're going to have to realize that in the 2020 election, he's going to need a second term, and he's going to need, once again, a House and a Senate who can help him deliver on his agenda.
Well, let me ask you about that, Congressman Harris, because over the weekend, the president, in a conversation with Politico, talking about the funding for the wall, which is not presently there, $5 billion, he's saying, hey, this would be, I'm quoting, this would be a very good time to do a shutdown, referring to a government shutdown by him not signing the appropriations bill for Homeland Security. Do you think the prospects are high that might happen?
Well, at some point, if the president wants to deliver on that promise of the border security funding, before the next election, he is going to have to confront the Democrats head on. And the only way he can confront them is by, in fact, doing a, quote, shutdown. Although we know this time it's not going to affect our military because we've already passed the defense spending for the rest of the fiscal year. Five of the 12 bills are passed. So it is a small piece of the federal government.
Right.
May have to temporarily not be funded in order for Americans to get ultimately to get what they were asking for, which is border security from an obstructionist Senate because of what Chuck Schumer is doing over in the Senate right now.
Well, two things that would suggest to me that the president would be moving in that direction, because number one, first, when he signed the last funding bill, he said, I'm not going to do that again. This is the moment in which he can insist that the promises that the American people bought into when he was elected will be kept, and that is the border security. But also, you know, people say these government shutdowns are horrible, that they have political consequences, there's fallout. Well, we go back to 2013 when the last real shutdown took place. Of course, it was much more widespread than this would be. As you said, most of the appropriations bills have gone through. This would be very limited in its scope. But even then, in 2013, the Republicans gained seats in the next election. So I don't think the president has anything to lose by holding firm and fast to his commitments.
I absolutely agree. You know, the bottom line is that that what the media harps on in past shutdowns has been, the NIH isn't funded, so we're not doing cancer research. We're doing that's fully funded in our bills right now, you know, or our men and women in uniform can't get paid, or they don't have the ability to have the weapons or backing that they need. Well, that's taken out of the way now because we've funded them. So this, in fact, would be a very targeted shutdown. I put it in quotes because, of course, you and I both know we don't really shut down anything.
Right.
Everything that's
right.
considered an essential service is like border security, for instance, because the Department of Homeland Security is one of the departments that would be, quote, shut down. But, of course, almost a lot of that is, in fact, considered essential services. So really, essential services don't end, and it would be very limited. But it would deliver a message that this president is willing to fight for what the American people want. And they want border security and a rational enforcement of immigration law, the law of the land. They think that America is a land of law and order, a land of where people obey the laws. And I think that this president would be overwhelmingly supported if he forced the Democrats to shut down the government over not funding border security adequately.
Well, and Congressman Harris, don't you think that would send a good message to Nancy Pelosi coming in as Speaker that, look, he's going to draw bright, clear lines, and he's going to stick to them?
That's right. And you know, on the issue, one thing we discussed just last week on the issue of the pro-life riders that sit on our appropriations bills, the president
right.
has to send a clear message that yeah. if this Democrat majority is going to not do what the American people want, whether it's immigration or whether it's you know, our pro-life riders on our appropriations bills, he's going to have to make it clear to them that he will be willing to temporarily stop the funding of the government in order to get that done. So even so, the repercussions of fighting this fight now on border security actually are very important to the future fights we're going to have over the next 2 years over our pro-life agenda with a Congress, with a House that is no longer going to be pro-life.
Agreed. I could not agree with you more. Speaking of that, Congressman Harris, before we run out of time here, the Supreme Court today declining to take cases involving Planned Parenthood, involving, I believe, the state of Louisiana and was it Kansas, I think it was the other state. What do you make of the court's decision not to take those cases?
Well, I think that, again, the liberal media is making more of this than it really is, because what this case was about removing an injunction from a lower court. The lower court and the court of lower court, the appeals court, has not made a ruling on the substance of the cases, which is whether or not a state can, in fact, declare that Planned Parenthood, because of it violated, you know, it was in violation of law for things like, you know, selling baby body parts, some billing practices that were questionable at best, that they can remove them as Medicaid providers in a given state. So this issue actually is not really about Planned Parenthood. It's about whether, you know, who has standing to bring this case and whether or not an injunction was going to be removed. So this in no way is a substantive policy decision by a court, by either the appeals court or the lower court, the district court that made this. This was only about an injunction. Now, do I wish it had gone the other way? Yes, I do wish the injunction would have been removed. But even had the injunction been removed, the underlying cases would still have to be argued in front of those lower courts.
Very good. Congressman Andy Harris, as always, great to have you on the program.
Thank you.
All right. Merry Christmas. All right, folks, coming up next, China cracking down on Christians again. 100 Christian leaders rounded up last night in China. We'll talk about that with Travis Weber next here on Washington Watch. Don't go away.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
Should people be allowed to question their feelings? If a person expresses feelings of same-sex attraction, shouldn't they be allowed to seek professional help if they don't want these feelings? In a country such as ours, the answer should be a no-brainer. Incredibly, some liberal states have banned sexual orientation change efforts, known as SOCE, claiming that they are fraudulent, ineffective, and harmful. But are they? LGBT activists claim that sexual orientation is immutable and can't be changed by therapy or counseling. They also claim that people who attempt to change their sexual orientation end up more depressed and suicidal. As it turns out, studies have shown that sexual orientation change efforts are in fact very effective in helping people overcome unwanted same-sex attractions. For a thorough analysis of all the major studies done on the effectiveness of SOCE, visit frc.org/SOCE. Again, that's frc.org/SOCE.
Are you ready to take a stand? Now you can with FRC's new Stand Firm mobile app, which allows you to stay engaged and informed on the most important issues facing our country. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on issues of faith, family, and freedom with just a tap of the screen. Listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins, and much more. Join Christians across America as we stand firm together. Visit frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today.
Planned Parenthood is the nation's leading abortion supplier and has hailed itself as the champion of women for decades. But nothing could be further from the truth. Sadly, this organization has been caught repeatedly violating the law and violating women, from aiding and abetting sex traffickers, covering up child sexual abuse and selling the remains of aborted baby parts, to ignoring the disastrous effects that abortion has on women's physical and mental health. For more information on how Planned Parenthood is not pro-woman, visit frc.org/Planned Parenthood.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Merry Christmas. Thanks for tuning in on this Monday afternoon. By the way, as we approach the end of the year, I want to encourage you to partner with FRC so that we can continue to bring you Washington Watch, as well as the other things we do here in Washington, D.C. in 2019. Now, like we did last year, we've got a generous donor that has put forth a match that will be doubled. So, your gift will be doubled because of this this challenge match, up to $500,000. So anything that you commit to between now and the end of the year will be doubled by this generous challenge match. So if you want to help us advance faith, family, and freedom for the sake of America, give us a call. We've got folks standing by right now to take your phone call, 800-225-4008. 4008. That's 800-225-4008, 800-225-4008, or you can go to the website frc.org/2018 to donate. And again, that will be matched. All right, today marks the 70th anniversary of the Declaration of Human Rights. Now, this is pretty comprehensive, but among the items covered in this Universal Declaration of Human Rights is religious freedom. The right includes freedom to change one's religion or belief, and it's comprehensive. Now, China was not only a signatory to this Universal Declaration of Human Rights, but it was actually very instrumental in crafting it 70 years ago. Well, you wouldn't know that by China's increasing efforts to clamp down on Christians. In fact, Bob Fu, our good friend at China Aid, has been giving warning that this is major escalation that is taking place. As I mentioned earlier last night, primarily targeted Early Rain Covenant Church across various districts, including Sichuan province, They arrested about 100 people. Joining us now to talk more about this and what this means is Travis Weber, Vice President of Policy here at the Family Research Council, which oversees our Center for Religious liberty. Travis, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thanks, Tony.
All right. What do we make of the latest coming out of China with this continued crackdown on Christian churches?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is indicative of a pattern that we've clearly seen in recent years, specifically over this past year, and it continues the aggressive crackdown that the Chinese government is engaged in, which they have not necessarily reached, levels that they have not reached in recent years, but now they're reaching. This continues a pattern we saw started with Zion Church earlier this year, in which they threatened to force the church to install surveillance equipment, and the church refused to do that. The coordinated nature of this crackdown is particularly alarming. You have clear efforts to block the members on social media and other activities, which make this particularly more menacing as an activity. So, I mean, this is consistent across the pattern we saw with the deal with the Vatican, the Chinese government is engaged in, which supposedly is a positive step. But I think I've talked to people who are concerned about that. It's not promising at all for religious freedom in China. So, definitely something to be concerned about.
Now, the Early Rain Covenant Church, which was the focal point of this latest crackdown, is one of China's few unofficial house churches. Now, while most of China's Protestant house churches operate underground to avoid attracting official attention and control, the Early Rain congregation openly practices its faith, posting sermons online, evangelizing on the streets, and they so they've pretty much been left alone. But we're seeing now, as Bob Fu pointed out, a major escalation in clamping down not only on these unofficial churches, but even going after the official sanctioned churches.
Yeah, I mean, you and I have both spoken about this, and one of the interesting statistics I thought that he pulled out was the fact that you have 10,000 people who have been rounded up this year alone and 3,000 last year, so that's more than triple the number of folks, that number of Christians who've been rounded up and harassed because of their faith and various religious practices that the Chinese government does not like. As you noted, there is a distinction between the officially sanctioned churches in China and the house churches and other unsanctioned religious practice. Nevertheless, the Chinese government imposes religious freedom restrictions in a variety of ways across the board, even on the officially sanctioned churches. Of course, you have to toe the government's line. The ironic thing I think about this is that they're harassing Christians seeking to merely practice their faith, and they seem to not understand that Christians are good citizens. They're not trying to engage in a mission of subversive activity. They really do not want to be interfered with as they seek to fulfill their obligations to God. And the Chinese government, I think, should take note of this fact and try to understand it as it approaches religion in China.
Well, Travis Weber, it's not just the Christians, as we've spoken about frequently on here, but you have reportedly 1 million Uyghur Muslims that are in government re-education camps. And we've seen we've heard of the horrific treatment that they're receiving in those camps.
Yeah, it is really bad. And this is taking place primarily in the far western province in China, where the government is really trying to re-educate these people who are within its borders, make them, in its view, good Chinese citizens, primarily Muslim population. It, really bad news, what's happening there. And I think it deserves more of the world's attention and deserves a spot in these international discussions when religious freedom comes up and, frankly, international relations are discussed more broadly. What China is doing to the Muslim population in that area, what it's doing to the Buddhists in Tibet, what it's doing to Christians around the rest of the country. And this is all motivated by a desire to control religion because it sees it as a threat to the state. And that, unfortunately, violates religious freedom.
Well, Travis Weber, we're out of time, but I do want to have a more detailed conversation in the future about the Universal Declaration of Human Rights when nations like countries like China can sign on to it but completely ignore it. Something's not right. Folks, don't go away. We're coming back with more. The last few weeks, major drops in the stock market, normal adjustment. Something big happening. We'll talk with Art Alley of the Timothy Plan next here on Washington Watch. Don't go away.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect. Is Planned Parenthood a champion for women? In reality, Planned Parenthood is the nation's leading killer of unborn children. Despite this, they have been hailing themselves as the voice of women for decades. But nothing could be further from the truth. Sadly, this organization has been caught repeatedly violating the law and violating women, from aiding and abetting sex traffickers, covering up child sexual abuse, and selling the remains of aborted baby parts to ignoring the disastrous effects that abortion has on women's physical and mental health. From its racist eugenic roots to the targeting of vulnerable communities today, their scandals continue to pile up. Planned Parenthood's current motto is care, no matter what. A more fitting motto would be profit, no matter what. For more information on how Planned Parenthood is not pro-woman, visit frc.org/Planned Parenthood. Again, that's frc.org/Planned Parenthood.
This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad to have you along on this Monday afternoon. The website is tonyperkins.com. As I mentioned previously, we have a challenge match that's available as we approach the end of the year. And I want to encourage you to partner with the Family Research Council so that Washington Watch can continue to go out across the country and be a source of information as it pertains to faith, family, and freedom. As you know, if you listen to this program, you hear directly from the newsmakers. We don't put our spin on it. You get to hear them right here. So if you'd like to partner with us, give us a call. We have folks standing by right now. Everything that you commit to will be doubled. That's right, doubled. Call us, 800-225-4008. That's 800-225-4008. Or you go to tonyperkins.com. All right, the Dow Jones Industrial Average plunged 4.5% for the week, ending with a 559-point rout on Friday that left the index in negative territory for the year. Now, is this a normal adjustment or an ominous sign of things to come? With us now is Art Alley. He's the CEO and president of the Timothy Plan, a mutual fund family that promotes biblically responsible investing. Art, welcome to Washington Watch.
Merry Christmas. Whoops, am I allowed to say that, Tony?
You can say that here. You can say that. I can say it anywhere, as you know. According to the president, you can say it anywhere. We can say it again in America. Hey, let me ask you about this. So is this the end of the decade-long bull market, or is this the sort of normal, healthy pullback that often follows such strong run-up?
Well, it's probably neither, Tony. It's probably neither. You know, I've been doing this 45 years. Well, that kind of gives my age away. But I've been doing it a long time, and you have two issues, short-term and long-term. We are in a short-term, and I wish it would hurry up and end, but a short-term concern about the uncertainty. And the main driver in this time is China. And China, with this trade going back and forth, you know, Donald Trump is addressing a more than decades long problem we've had, in that we just roll over and let everybody roll over us. And China is not used to anybody standing up. Well, he's doing it. He knows how to negotiate. He knows we hold the cards. China is in more trouble than we are. But in the markets, uncertainty always results in markets going down. It hates uncertainty. And right now with this China thing, it's very uncertain. But long term, Tony, sit back and look at what's going on. I mean, we've got the strongest economy, I mean, almost since I've been in this industry for 45 years. We just announced that we are, for the first time in 75 years, a net exporter in oil, which is a major factor in our trade deficit. Things are going really well. The market is just nervous. This is not 2008 all over again, when everything was built on quicksand. We're on a solid foundation. So it's short term. The problem is too many investors react to short term. Mm-hmm. And that's why the average investor loses money in the market.
So this is a blip on the radar screen. Is this ground
Absolutely.
Made up then when the certainty comes back into the market?
How do you spell opportunity? I mean, we've got one right now. You know, China is going to have to come to the table. Thank God for Donald Trump. He's righting a lot of wrongs that have been there a long time. Markets don't like the uncertainty of, well, what's going to happen, wringing their hands. But China has to come to the table. They're in trouble. We hold the upper hand if we can hold out. And, of course, we got a Congress now that the House went to the wild liberals that would like to cave in. But I believe he's strong enough to hold strong. And when China finally comes to the table, you're going to want to be fully invested.
So
I think that is the main factor right now.
So, Art Alley, to the individual out there, the families, the people who may invest a little bit in the stock market, this is the time to invest. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely, or at least the time to stay back. However, with one caveat, those that are out there investing, invest biblically.
Yeah.
I mean, my goodness, God is still in control of things, and, you know, we got to quit winking and kidding ourselves.
And folks can find out more about that by going to TonyPerkins.com and follow the links over to the Timothy Plan. For the average person out there, may not have the resources to invest in the stock market, just concerned about the future of their job and the economy. Mm-hmm. Long term, you're saying the economy looks good because of the decisions being made. We're just righting some of these economic wrongs that have been in place for a long time.
I think we could get, you know, a little interruption with the shenanigans that the Democrats may pull in the House. But they're not going to get anything through that's going to derail this. Donald Trump will veto any nonsense that they come up with. And they're going to come up with a lot of it, including impeachment, which they're not going to accomplish. This thing with the tax cuts and all of the deregulation that's been going on has corporate America in the best shape they've been in more than decades. So, long term, things look really, really good.
All right, Art Alley, we got to leave it there. Thanks so much for joining us. And again, Merry Christmas.
Tony, thank you for all you're doing. God bless.
All right, Art Alley with the Timothy Plan. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. When we come back, we go to the phone lines. We're going to talk with you this afternoon, 866-372-7234. When we return, don't go away. More Washington Watch to come right after this.
Do you feel out of touch with what's going on in our nation's capital? Do you want to make a difference? Now you can. Family Research Council's Stand Firm mobile app is a new tool that is bringing Christians across America together and advancing faith, family, and freedom. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on important issues with just a tap of the screen, sign up to organize culture impact teams in churches across the country, and share the latest legislative alerts with family and friends. You can also listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins or read the Daily Washington Update to stay engaged and informed on issues facing our country. Join now in building a network of activists as we stand firm together for His kingdom. Go to frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today. Again, that's frc.org/app.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect. Planned Parenthood is the nation's leading abortion supplier and has hailed itself as the champion of women for decades. But nothing could be further from the truth. Sadly, this organization has been caught repeatedly violating the law and violating women. From aiding and abetting sex traffickers, covering up child sexual abuse, and selling the remains of aborted baby parts, to ignoring the disastrous effects that abortion has on women's physical and mental health. For more information on how Planned Parenthood is not pro-woman, visit frc.org/Planned Parenthood.
Should people be allowed to question their feelings? If a person expresses feelings of same-sex attraction, shouldn't they be allowed to seek professional help if they don't want these feelings? In a country such as ours, the answer to these questions should be a no-brainer. Incredibly, some liberal states have banned sexual orientation change efforts, claiming they are ineffective and harmful. But are they? Studies have shown that sexual orientation change efforts are very effective in helping people overcome unwanted same-sex attractions. To find out more, visit frc.org/SOCE.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go. Take a look in the 5 and 10, glistening once again with candy canes and silver lanes aglow.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The phone number, if you would like to join with us as we move toward the end of the year, and we have our year-end push to make sure we're fully funded for 2019. We've got folks standing by to take your call, and every gift that you give will be doubled. We have a $500,000 challenge match that some very generous donors have put forward, so that everything you give will be doubled. All right, you give $10, it becomes $20. You give $100, it becomes $200. Give us a call, 800-225-4008. That's 800-225-4008. The only way that Washington Watch is able to be here is because of folks like you across the nation. We get no government funding. It's all individuals who support the work that we're doing on the 275 radio stations we're on across the country. It happens because of you. And it's important that this information gets out there for folks. So give us a call, partner with us, 800-225-4008. All right, here's what I want to talk about. I'm going to take the calls we've got on there, but I want to go back to one of our first topics, and that is the funding for the wall. I think for all the reasons we stated with Congressman Harris, that it's important the president really set the parameters for Nancy Pelosi and the incoming Democratic majority right now by saying, hey, I'm unlike any of the other Republicans you've dealt with before. I am not going to give in. So should the president, if the Democrats, if Chuck Schumer and others refuse to go along with the $5 billion spending to get the border security in place, and the president says, all right, I'm not signing it, we're going into a partial government shutdown, do you support that? Should the president hold fast and not have these erasable red lines like the previous president had and say, not moving, not budging? What do you think? 866-372-7234, let me know. Interested in what you think, because the president's obviously interested. I mean, he's going to do what he's going to do, but it always helps if he knows he's got his supporters behind him on this. Do you think it's a good call or not? 866-372-7234. I'm going to take a couple calls that came in already on different topics. Let's go to Pete in Missouri. Pete, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony. Thank you for taking my call again. I'm beginning to wonder if your call screener one of these days is going to go, is this Pete in St. Louis? And then I'm going to say yes, and they're going to just cut me off. Yes, by the way, the question, the president should hold the line firm. Absolutely, absolutely. We respect this president here in the basket of deplorables, and he does what he says. He said he should do it. But what I really wanted to kind of object to was your first guest referring to the party that has just lost control of the House as the pro-life party. We here in we deplorables, we know that that's not true. They had all the power. They didn't defund Planned Parenthood. They didn't get rid of Obamacare. The Republican Party lost control of the House, but not, despite their platform, not the pro-life party. That's what I really wanted to say. Thank you.
Pete, thanks for the call. And Pete, I'm not gonna argue strenuously with you because I agree in part. Now, I will say I want to talk about the defunding of Planned Parenthood just quickly because that would have happened. That passed the House. I actually worked with the majority whip, 2 years ago to first get that into the reconciliation bill as Steve Scalise. We figured out a way that we could get it through with just 51 votes in the Senate. And so after the election, we did it again. We got it through the House. That was the part of the it was the reconciliation dealing with Obamacare, but we had put the defunding of Planned Parenthood in there as well. Got it through the House, went to the Senate. It died by one vote, and it was John McCain's vote. Very disappointing. On that side, I would say that the Republicans have fought on that, tried on that. I would like to see them more aggressive, and I think you actually are seeing it. When the new Congress comes in, the 116th Congress, and this has been happening since 2006, that the Republican caucus is becoming more ideologically conservative and more pro-life. In fact, I've almost 100% that this is certain. I should maybe say 99% to give myself a little room here. But the incoming Republican caucus, although smaller, is going to be all pro-life. I should say this. There are no pro-choice, pro-abortion advocates. No longer are those who publicly will identify as pro-choice, pro-abortion, whatever you want to call it. That's an improvement. Now, they're not all solid pro-life advocates, but the caucus, it's increasingly you have to be pro-life to be a Republican. So progress is being made, but Pete, I would not argue with you that it's not being made as fast as I think it should be on something as important as it is. All right, let's go. I'm going to get to phone lines filling up here, but I want to get to Bolton because he's been holding. Bolton in Oklahoma, welcome to Washington Watch.
All right, thank you, sir. I just want to make a comment about the sheriff and the woman who warned the aliens that the ICE was coming and compare that with what they did to Kim Davis, who definitely was following the letter of the law, and she gets 8 days in jail. And these people who are fighting against immigration laws seem to be getting away with no charges at all. And I think that Trump should build the wall. If that wall had been up, we would not have half the problem with the caravans coming over if that wall had been in place. And that's what I have to say.
Bolton, thank you for the call. I agree with you. I agree with you. Let's go to Jeff in Tennessee. Jeff, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you. My question is, don't some of the radical left-wingers want to defund Homeland Security, in particular the transportation security theater, as they call it, and things. In other words, ICE, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
It's almost kind of like some of them, wouldn't this be a gift to them?
Well, the reality is that what happens is that in a government shutdown, and that term is really not a an accurate description of what happens. The Homeland Security, the border agents, ICE, they would all continue to operate because they're essential personnel. Now, what would happen is that they would be paid later. So they would continue to operate during the government shutdown. So it would not in any way.
If they don't care about the department anyhow, why would they care when they get paid?
Well, they may not, but there's other things that they do care about that they want to get. I think the main point is that Trump is going to demand that he gets the funding for the border security that he wants on the southern border.
I hope
border.
He gets it. I'm just saying, I wonder if that doesn't give them some stage play.
It could be. I mean, they could claim that they're defunding ICE, but in reality, they will not be. But you know, that's a good point, Jeff, because the government shutdowns are more about media and messaging than it is actually about practically impacting the operation of government. I mean, just other than maybe federal parks or something, you know, other non-essential things, which, you know, I've always kind of chuckled at that when they say, well, all essential employees have to come in. Non-essential can stay home. Well, if they're non-essential, why do we have them to begin with? What I was thinking.
Well, a couple of stories there. Some of them are really essential, and some of them it's just padding.
Yeah.
Buying votes, Jeff, perhaps.
Jeff, thanks for the call. Appreciate you listening to Washington. Let's go to Carolina in Virginia. Welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, Tony. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing today?
I am well, thank you. Or I should say, gracias. My name is Carolina. I'm Latina. I'm calling you. Thank you, number one, for your broadcast. I thoroughly enjoy it.
Buenas tardes. Buenas tardes.
Buenas tardes a usted también.
Muy bien, gracias.
I'm calling you because I just want to let you know, when this Mr. Trump came in and started campaigning, I wasn't sure if I was going to vote for him. I ended up voting for him because I did not like Hillary. I am so glad I did. And let me tell you, I appreciate so much of what he's doing for religious freedom and for the pro-life movement, both of which I support ardently. And what I'm going to tell my fellow conservatives, because I cannot call myself a Republican until Republicans buckle their pants on correctly, I think they have just wasted our time, wasted taxpayer money, and I think they need to just get on the ball. And I support the Freedom Caucus, and I think they should be more like the Freedom Caucus because those are true servants. But I tell the rest of America listening, buckle your seatbelts, people. This is our chance. This president, I think, knows the way, and I think I know what he's doing. I think he knows what he's doing, and let's give it a shot. Stop being so scared about everything, you know. And I think we should plow ahead. This man has proven results, and I see him, and you know, I can't help but you know, I have confidence in him, and a heck of a lot more confidence than the last president, that's for sure. And he has proven himself correct, you know, in doing right by Americans, by helping free, you know, people overseas that were Christians that were being held captive. He has done everything he has said he's going to do. So I don't understand the apprehension that people have when it comes to Mr. Trump. He really, I believe, has brought dignity and honor back to the White House.
Muy bueno. Muy bueno. Very good. Thank you for calling, Carolina. Good to talk to you. Thanks for calling. Very good. Very good. Have a great day. Merry Christmas. Wow. She said it all very concisely. But I'm going to work in a few more calls here. Joe, I think she may have left you a little bit to say. Welcome to Washington Watch.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. She hit on a few of the points I was going to make, and you hit on a few of the points I was going to make earlier also. Yet the Trump and the true conservatives need to stand firm on this border security, and the conservative voters will support them. And it's ironic that the rhino Republicans in the House had multiple chances for the last 8 years to defund Planned Parenthood. They never did. And then the ironic thing is Planned Parenthood turned around and used taxpayers' money to campaign against them. Now we don't have a majority in the House thanks to them not defunding Planned Parenthood, and Planned Parenthood using that taxpayer money to beat them out of the get them out of the majority in the House. So it is ironic.
I think you're right, Joe. I think you're right. I think that the motivation factor was, you know, look, we've had these promises and they didn't follow through. And I also would say that when you look at who did not or who lost among the ranks of the Republicans, the vast majority were the moderates or the not, I don't want to say squishes, that may be a little too strong. But I can only name three conservatives, solid conservatives that lost. Mostly yeah. It was the more moderate Republicans. I think people were tired of the promises that were not kept. And to the degree that it wasn't worse, I think it was because the president. I think people stood for the president and his agenda.
Yes, you're exactly right. If you look at what Planned Parenthood spent in the battleground states,
right.
it's in the millions, and it's just frustrating. But I'll let you get the other calls. Thanks for all you do.
Thanks, Joe. Appreciate the call. That's a whole other topic, and I do not think that if you receive government money, direct government grants, that you should be able to also engage in election advocacy. Because I know that the money's separate. You got to have separate accounting. But you think about this for a moment. To Joe's point, when you look at these battleground states where you had people, Planned Parenthood, I should say, where Planned Parenthood spent millions of dollars, well, what if they didn't get $500 million from the government and they had to go to their donors to raise the money to do the other activities they're involved in? Well, they wouldn't be able to go to them for political funds too, or maybe it would be less political funds, like most on the right who do not receive government funds, like let's take Family Research Council. We don't get any government money. We have a C3 organization that is involved in educational activities. We've got a C4 that's involved in lobbying activities, and then we've got the political arm that's involved in elections. But all of that has to be raised. None of it is offset by government money. Joe makes a great point. By continuing to fund Planned Parenthood, it gives them the bandwidth capacity to do more politically because they don't have to raise the operational funds. They get it from you, the taxpayers of America. All right, folks, out of time. Sorry you didn't get to the rest of the calls, folks, but Lord willing, we'll be back again tomorrow, and I hope you will as well. Until then, we still have folks standing by to take your gift as we come down to the end of the year. That number, 800-225-4008. Everything you give will be doubled between now and the end of the year. Until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything that you can do, when you've prayed, prepared, and taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.